Greetings, Dale and John here, welcoming you to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast is presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy. In this episode, we've reached project implementation, you know, the construction part of a performance contract.
So having researched, audited, engineered, planned and prepared, reviewed, approved and signed the GESPC contract, and separately executed your financing agreement, it's time to start implementing the improvements you and your ESCO worked so hard to finalize. But before we start swinging hammers, let's talk a little bit about what should guide this part of our process. Repeatedly, we've referenced the model documents the Energy Services Coalition displays on our website that are products of states' most successful performance contracting programs. Noticeably absent from the collection of instruments is a construction contract, the terms and conditions, guidelines, and processes that bound construction. And the reason you don't see one there is pretty simple. You probably already have one of your own.
Exactly. You know, GESPC is novel as it combines the requirements of design with the obligation to build and achieve or exceed the efficiency and performance of what's proposed. For public practitioners, this single point responsibility model, along with its accompanying guarantee to achieve, yields a paid for by savings model using funds already budgeted for operations, maintenance, and utilities. But construction, well, you already know how to do that. Cities, counties, universities, schools, special districts, and states all have years and years of experience building, retrofitting, and remodeling your systems and infrastructure. You've got contracts that define, guide, even direct quality and process. Many have form sets, invoice guidelines, meeting and minute requirements, even particular guidance on closeout, commissioning, training, and managing warranty considerations.
You may remember way back when you were soliciting ESCOs, it should have been made clear that your ESCO would be required to follow your construction contract as it's part of the performance contracting set of documents. In this way, all parties are aware of what's expected and required to meet or exceed the quality and process standards for your projects. Folks who construct and maintain your facilities and systems deserve to know that the project will meet or exceed the quality standards of every other project, and the ESCO will follow the processes and procedures customary to your institution or agency. Projects do well when your facility professionals have an oversight role in the project construction and closeout. In the end, they will literally inherit all of the work.
Once again, the term that comes to mind here is partnering. When facilities professionals provide input into design considerations, product and subcontractor selection, along with oversight of the construction following their documented processes and procedures, both the owner and the ESCO benefit. In fact, many large institutions have complete construction manuals that must be followed as a part of their construction contract. Manuals with standardized forms, application for payment and other essential paperwork that allows them to document consistent process, seeking quality projects and fair value for the constituency they serve. Just another example of managed expectations and transparency to garner the best possible project results. So, John, let's talk a little bit more about what these construction contracts likely contain.
Good idea, Dale. As a minimum, they lay out the terms and conditions of providing construction services for any project the owner implements. And they should make it clear that these terms and conditions will apply to all of their subcontractors, delivery personnel, manufacturers' representatives, everyone associated with this project. Construction contracts generally outline what information is required prior to the commencement of the work, adherence to construction schedules, as well as the impact of delays, approved or otherwise. Other examples typically include guidelines on access to the site and safety measures to be followed, They'll also address matters such as permit requirements, submittals and substitutions, cleanup and work inspections and approvals.
Construction contracts also speak to the concept of change orders. Now, for GESPC projects, special attention should be paid to this concept. The industry has long held that these projects cannot be subject to change orders since they are paid for by the very savings or avoidance of costs that they create. And while we all know there will likely be some sort of changes that are required as construction proceeds, the mandate that the price cannot exceed that which the project can pay for establishes a guaranteed maximum price. Further, because the ESCO was the responsible party to investigate the site and create the design guiding the work of the project, they can hardly be allowed to request a change order for what they didn't envision. And to be fair, if there is something not concrete in the scope of work, it should have been pointed out for consideration in the investment grade audit and project proposal. As a matter of fact, this whole concept of single point responsibility and eliminating change orders is a big advantage of using performance contracting.
Another specific area construction contracts manage is invoicing and progress payments. Most specify the forms to be used, the process to follow, what is and what isn't allowable regarding claims, liens, and ownership of the work. This includes the timing or pay schedule for approved invoices, making it clear to all just how payment will be applied for, reviewed, approved, and paid, and point out circumstances that might warrant withholding payment. And importantly, the how, when, and what will be required for final project acceptance, closeout, and payment.
All these pieces and parts of contractual guidance are contained within the construction contract and are missing from the model contract since all states have laws governing these construction issues that must prevail. Finally, construction contracts generally address a set of vitally important considerations like termination, both for cause and for convenience, tax obligations, if any, insurance and required bonds, indemnification, the management of disputes and consequential damages.
So, you can see why we think it's so important you ensure your performance contracting project contains the owner's agency's or institution's standard construction contract and all parties come to agreement on any language conflicts that might arise from any of these project instruments prior to beginning construction.
We hope our time spent with you regarding implementation has pointed out just how important we know this matter to be. Actually performing the work may not be any easier than getting the paperwork right, but we know for sure, even when the work proceeds flawlessly, if there's confusion about who's responsible for what and why, things just won't go well. Well, thanks for joining us here at GESPCU. Be sure to join us next time as we focus on wrapping up construction and the expectations for a smooth and successful implementation closeout. GESPCU. See you next time.